This week, I have been thinking upon the nature of temptations. On the nature of temptations. And what it takes to overcome temptation. The Bible teaches that temptation is the occasion to all sin. Temptation is the occasion to all sin. Temptation happens when the opportunity is presented to do what we know is wrong, whether against God, ourselves, or others. Temptation is desperately wanting something that God does not want you or me to have. We sin, and please get this down. We sin not because we have inherited some genetic nature from Adam. That is not why we sin. We are not born sinners. We become sinners by choice. A choice to give in to temptations. We sin because of temptations. And this is the reason why we must learn to overcome temptation. You think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We know from the Scripture that they were completely perfect, created perfect. But yet, they sinned just as easy as any of their offspring. What was the cause of them sinning so easily in the Garden of Eden, in a perfect environment, with a perfect nature? It wasn't a sin nature, we know that for sure. It was temptation. They did not resist temptation. And that's why they sinned so easy. Temptation is universal to all men. No one escapes the influence of temptation. There's no respecter of persons when it comes to temptation. It appeals to every man's desires. That's what James says in James 1, 14 to 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The word lust in verse 14, epithumai in the Greek, it speaks of our constitutional desires. It does not speak of an old sin nature, the OSN, as many call it, that we have genetically inherited from Adam. That is nowhere found. Desires, appetites by themselves, they are not evil. But they can and often become evil. They become worldly. They become foolish and hurtful. But they're not always this way. They can go after evil things. Temptation is a suggestion to gratify a desire in an illegal way or amount. But God has given us desires. God has given us passion and appetites. And He expects us to use them properly, directed toward the right things. And yes, passions and desires and appetites should never be our final authority in decision making, no matter how good and pure they might be. our desires should not be the guiding force in our life. God's will must rule over all of our desires. And that's what makes us a Christian. A good example is when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And He hungered. He had the desire to eat. 40 days He went without food. And He was hungry. He had the normal desire that any man has for food. But He did not put the normal desire for eating, his appetite, over His obedience to God in that particular situation. He said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In Luke 22:15, Jesus desired to eat the Passover with His disciples. That same word desired is used in James 1:14. Same word in James 1:14. Desired. Epithumai. Was it wrong for Jesus to desire to eat the Passover with His disciples? Absolutely not. He was longing. He was craving to eat the Passover with His disciples. Nothing sinful about that. Paul had a great desire to see the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:17. Great desire. The problem with desire is when we seek to gratify our desires and appetites outside the laws of God. In a selfish way, going after things that are evil, then our desires will become corrupt. Then our desires will become sinful. We see this so many times. And we talk and have counseled many people that have wanted to become married. And we clearly understand and delineate that sex is not before marriage. Although God has given us that desire to have that pleasure, it is something that is in the confines of marriage. Therefore, we gratify that desire in a legal way, within the boundary lines of the laws of God. And anything outside of that is fornication and adultery and is sin. And those desires have been corrupted into evil lust, worldly passions. Temptation addresses our desires. It seeks to entice, to draw us away. James says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Drawn away from what? Drawn away from doing the right thing, the godly thing. Drawn away from living by faith. Drawn away from seeking first the kingdom of God. You know when someone is seeking first the kingdom of God because you see it in the way they make decisions. As I thought about overcoming temptation, there was one thing that stood out that really is clear to me, and I believe it is a key. And let me tell you this. This is the reason why so many people are drawn away and enticed by temptation, no matter where it comes from, inwardly or outwardly. And this is why Adam and Eve sin so easily. And this is why so many Christians also sin easily when they are tempted. Overcoming temptation involves suffering. Resisting temptation involves pain. It involves sacrifice. Sacrificing the desires of self. Why do you think Paul refers to it as a crucifixion? In Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Why does Paul use the word mortify? Mortify. Mortify. Mortify means put to death. Mortify means to kill. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, the which is idolatry. In Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. The word mortify is a hard word. Hard word. To do that to one's own self is not an easy work. It's not an easy task. But mark it down. It has always been easier to sin than to resist temptation. Always. And you can ask Adam and Eve that when you meet them one day. Jesus suffered under temptation. Not because he had a sin nature. Hello? But because he resisted temptation. And resisted temptation is suffering. People don't understand this, and that's why they're in sin. Hebrews 2:18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted. He himself has suffered when tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. The Weymouth New Testament translation says, for in much as he has himself felt the pain of temptation. You know, Jesus Christ suffered under temptation. Not because he inherited an old sin nature from Adam, but it was due to the fact that resisting and overcoming temptation involves suffering. So clear. Why suffering? Temptation is about indulging in self. It's about forming ingrained habits and addictions. Resistance to temptation calls for self-denial. And denying self is not fun. It's giving up our rights to follow Christ, turning away from something that we may love to do. It can be quite a struggle. Do you agree this morning? A struggle. I think we've all heard the two voices. You know, the two voices inside whispering in our ears. The world, the flesh, the devil whisper to us thousands of rationales, thousands of justifications. You need this. Indulge. It feels good. Go ahead and do it. It won't hurt anybody. No one will know about it. And then on the other side, we hear the voice of God's Word. And it's screaming at us, no, don't do it. There's a struggle. It can be agonizing. There is great sufferings involved in saying no to self. Self is not in the denying business, as one writer said. It's a hard road to go down. Jesus fought temptation, and that's why it says he suffered when tempted. He fought it. It meant something. When a temptation came, he took it serious. He fought it. Instead of taking the easy way of pleasure and self-indulgence, he resisted it on all sides. He denied himself. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's denial of self when we say that. When we say that, that's self-denial. In Romans 15:3, the scriptures say, Christ also pleased not himself. In John 14:31, Jesus says, "I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do." So I do. He obeyed God's word. He said in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That was his desire over food. His desire over the appetite of food was to do the will of God. Disciples came with all the food. "Hey, we got the food." Jesus wasn't worried about food at that time. Though Jesus ate, he was an ascetic. He ate. But there were times when he put food aside because the will of God was first. We could easily think that Jesus had an easy time resisting temptation to sin. But as the writer says in Hebrews 2:18, it says, "He himself suffered when tempted." It was difficult, painful, and hard. And resisting temptation is always that way. And that's why so many don't do it. The temptation comes in our minds. Instead of resisting it, we start thinking about it, and thinking about it, and thinking about it. The rationales come, the justifications come. We go ahead and finally do it. Many times, over and over again, temptation comes in the form of thoughts and impulses, internal feelings. And most people don't dare to put up a fight. I can say what I want. And they just go with it. They give in to it. That easy, that instantly. Why? Resisting temptation means suffering. Human beings do all they can to avoid suffering. Even when the suffering will benefit you. But let me say this morning. The key to overcoming all temptation and not sinning is to suffer against it. To be willing to resist. Resistance means suffering when it comes to temptation. In Hebrews 4:15, look at the benefits that came out of Jesus Christ suffering against temptation. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Yet without sin. Jesus Christ overcame every temptation to sin because he was willing to suffer against it. To fight it. To resist it. His temptations, the scriptures say, in every respect were as difficult and painful as it is for us. And probably more. More difficult and more painful because he never one time gave into it. Not one time. He said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Oh, he was an overcomer. He overcame sin. Why? Because he suffered being tempted. Revelation 3:21, he calls himself an overcomer. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame. Jesus overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. To be an overcomer means there was a struggle. There was a battle. And Jesus came out as a victorious winner. And he said there will be others following him. Others following him. Unless we are willing to suffer in fighting temptation, resisting the drawing, the enticement, you know what? You will never gain victory over temptation. Never. Never. Throw in the towel. I want to read a very powerful verse in 1 Peter chapter 4. It's on your notes. I want to read this from an alternative translation, which I think really nails the context and really expresses what Peter was trying to communicate when he wrote 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Christ suffered here on earth. 1 Peter 4:1. Now you must be ready to suffer as he did. Because suffering shows that you have stopped sinning. It means you have turned from your own desires and want to obey God the rest of your life. I found that a lot of commentators missed exactly what Peter was saying here. Peter is saying here that while Christ was on the earth, he suffered because of temptation. He gave resistance. And what that means is, as long as you are resisting the temptation to sin, and you're not yielding to the temptation, you're not giving in to the temptation, but rather you are suffering through the temptation, then you are not sinning. The CEV translation says the suffering shows that you have stopped sinning. You are free from sin. We can be free from sin as long as we suffer through temptation. That's what Peter's teaching. The King James says cease from sin. In other words, as long as you suffer against temptation, you resist it, you have ceased from sin. And verse 2 goes on to say, it means you have turned from your own desires and want to obey God for the rest of your life. It's when you yield to temptation, that's when you sin. But as long as you resist it and fight it, you cease from sin. You stop sinning. Liberating. What a liberating, powerful verse. Do you want to really see a vivid picture of how Jesus suffered, how he struggled and wrestled with temptation? Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. What is that? Loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard for his godly fear. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what? He suffered. Why did Jesus cry, shout out, scream? That's what it really means. With loud cries and tears. Why? Because resisting temptation is difficult. It's painful. The days of his flesh speaks of before he was glorified. It wasn't easy for Jesus in this world of temptation. Jesus learned obedience by putting his flesh under subjection. He submitted himself to the will of God. He humbled himself and became obedient, Philippians 2:8, as a man. And he resisted all temptation. And in all of this, he suffered. But you know what? That was the way to victory. Oh, that was the way to victory. There's no crown unless there's a cross. We know the sayings. So here's my point this morning. I want you to leave with this. If you want to have any measure of success in resisting temptations that come your way, then you must be willing to suffer. The temptation will be strong. It will be appealing. It might give us temporary pleasure. It will make us feel good. A measure of satisfaction. To say no to that will not be easy. Resisting, it will hurt you. It will hurt me. It will cause pain. But remember the writer of Hebrews when he exhorted the Hebrew Christians when they were going to apostatize. They were going to leave the faith because it got a little hard. There was heat in the kitchen. He says in Hebrews 12:4, oh boy, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Bang. Man, that verse is a rebuke. In Hebrews 12:2, we're to look unto Jesus. And that's where we see true resistance to sin. Right? That's where we really see true resistance to sin is when we look unto Jesus. What kind of fight do we put up against sin? Do we just easily surrender, you know, wave the flag and instantly give in to it? Do we put up a struggle at all? Often Christians don't even want to fight. No courage, no convictions. And their life is full of compromise. Nothing but excuse after excuse after excuse. Not Jesus. He never gave into temptation. He fought it. He resisted. He strived against it with all his might, with all his resolve. He resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Even to death. Even to death. And what a shameful death that was. That's how serious of a matter it was to Jesus. We need to get that in our heads. That it was how serious it was. As I say over and over again, Christianity is not game playing. What I'm talking about this morning is issues of life and death. Giving into temptation and not giving into temptation, that is issues of life and death for many when they stand before God. When the end is end. You know, he could have easily taken the easy way, the shortcut that was offered to him in the wilderness by the devil. And you know what? That hasn't changed. Oh, the devil. We will be tempted by the devil to not take the hard road, but instead take the path of least resistance. The easy way out. The devil has so many options for us. And his temptations are persistent. And he doesn't want us to sweat. He will put in front of you something very attractive. Even may appear even more logical. The thing that seems more natural to do. Fighting temptations inwardly and outwardly, man, that is no walk in the park. The devil is an adversary. He hates your guts. He wants to kill you. It's hard work. There's no hard work when it comes to yielding to temptation. Oh, the flesh, the sinful passions take pleasure in the things that by which it's tempted. It's easy to give in. It's hard to resist. Paul said, we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle. There's a struggle. Paul wrote that, fight the good fight of faith, in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight. Resisting temptation is painful, but we must fight with all of our might and never give up if we want to win the fight. If we want to be the last man standing, we must continue on and never give up. And give it with all of our might. If fighting temptation was difficult for the Son of God, should we expect it to be easier for us? You see, resisting temptation is what we're called to do as Christians. It's painful. It's suffering. I cannot help but think of the red letters. How many have a red lettered Bible? All the words of Jesus in red. I can't help but think of the red letters in Mark chapter 9, verse 47. When we're on this topic this morning, Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Those are serious words. Whew! And he's talking to his disciples here. He's not talking to pretenders. He's not talking to pretenders. He's talking to his disciples. And his words make it clear that separating ourselves from the temptation can be painful. A painful process. A painful experience. Many times when we resist temptation, we will suffer what is called withdrawal pains. Ceasing from those sinful habits that we've been practicing over and over again, you think that's easy work? They're addictions. It will be difficult to say no to the temptation that we've always given into. Always given into. Satan takes the little bait. Here, come here. Come here. You go. Because it, hey, same one. Look, oh, he's coming again. Look at same thing over and over again. He's just laughing. Satan's just laughing. I got him. They just keep coming. You think it's not going to be hard work trying to root that out? Jesus says you better do it. We better do it. Use we. We better do it. Or you got problems when it comes to the kingdom of God. Boy. At first, our strength to resist will be very low because we've done it over and over again. But as we make the decision to resist and to endure the pain, we will grow stronger. From these words of Jesus in Mark 9:47, I think we need to be serious about whatever causes us to sin and deal with it. One writer said, overcoming temptation involves appreciating the danger that exists, recognizing the causes, and taking appropriate action. Sometimes that action involves avoidance, sometimes confrontation. We need to wake up to the fact that we are being tempted. When that temptation comes, it is a life and death decision that we are making. In Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. It's all about choices. You know, temptation will never stop. It will never go away. It will never take a vacation. As long as there is a devil and he's the god of this world, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, there will be temptation because he is called the tempter. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. The tempter. Temptation never goes away in this life. Therefore, our resistance to it will be the cause of a long, extended suffering throughout the course of this life. And that's why James says we need to endure temptation. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Another powerful verse. Here we're called to endure. And we endure those things in life that are difficult, right? We endure those things in life that are troublesome. Temptation is difficult. Enduring temptation means we're not giving into it. We're not yielding to it. Enduring temptation means suffering. That is why the man that endures temptation receives the crown of life. You think that's given out to any chump? Any wimp gets the crown of life? No. No. The crown of life is given to those that suffer. That's what James said the Lord promised. And where did the Lord promise this at? Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Resisting temptation. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You see, when we endure temptation, we don't give in to it, we resist it, we're suffering. We are showing the Lord Jesus we love Him more than the pleasures of sin. And that's why James writes at the end of James 1:12, he writes that last phrase, the Lord promised the crown of life to them that love Him. That love Him. When you give in to temptation, put up no fight, you are showing the Lord that you love your sin more than you love Him. Anytime in the future when you and I are tempted, we need to ask ourselves this question. Do I love sin more than God? Let us resist. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Why are you telling us to live this kind of a life? Oh, you think you're on this planet by yourself? You think you're an island unto yourself? No. You need to be sober, vigilant, because you have an adversary. Oh, he's invisible. He's powerful. He caused Adam and Eve. He tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. You think you're something special? Because your adversary, the devil, the tempter, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I love verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? Steadfast in the Word of God. Just as Jesus did. Knowing that the same afflictions... There you go. What? The same afflictions, sufferings, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The afflictions and sufferings spoken of here by the Apostle Peter come from resisting the devil. And resisting the devil means that we're resisting his temptations. That means suffering. That's what Peter's saying. You think resisting and fighting your adversaries is not going to be painful? There's going to be afflictions. There's going to be suffering involved. His temptations are powerful. James says, submit yourself in James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a powerful verse. Oof. This is like dynamite. This is like a nuclear weapon right here in our arsenal. I think submitting ourselves to God means that we humble ourselves, James 4:4. And we show humble. How do we humble ourselves? By agreeing with the Bible. Denying our own opinions and agreeing with the Bible and what it says to do. Yielding ourselves to the Word of God, that's submitting to God. And notice the command here. To resist the devil. That means suffering. Again, resisting the devil is resisting temptation. And we already showed you very clearly, if you're going to resist temptation, there's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. If you want to have any success, any measure of success of victory. But please with me this morning, notice the results. Notice the benefits. Read it with me. He will flee from you. That's powerful. That's amazing. This is the same thing Peter taught in 1 Peter 4:1. Anytime we suffer through temptation by resisting it, by not yielding to it, we cease from sinning. Why? Because the devil flees from us. You're free. You're set free. People want to be free. They want to be liberated. They don't want to be in bondage to sin. Well, this is the answer right here. Peter says we can be encouraged to bear the pain of these sufferings way more easily because we know that we're not alone. He says our brethren have the same sufferings from resisting the devil and his temptations. You're not alone. And then Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:10, he tells us the results. Just as James told us the results, the devil will flee from you. Now Peter tells us the results. After you have suffered, so you got to suffer. If you're not going to suffer the devil, you're not resisting the devil. But if you have suffered, that means you've resisted the devil and his temptations. The God of peace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen. Peter confirms in these verses that resisting temptation causes suffering in our lives. But we have a hope in our suffering in that God is working in us. And after we suffer a little while, God will perfect, He will confirm, He will strengthen, and He will establish you. That's victory. That's overcoming. Oh, temptation can be overcome. You don't have to give into it. You don't. Don't listen to those people that tell you, oh, you're just like everybody else. You just give in to temptation. Don't listen to them. I remember when the disciples said to Jesus, when Jesus said something that just astounded them. In Matthew chapter 19, 25, they said, "Who then can be saved? Lord, who then can be saved?" And Jesus beheld them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." That's in the Bible. So don't sit there this morning with your excuse of an old sin nature saying that you always sin because you're a sinner. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. And temptation involves in making choices, following the ways of the world, Satan, our own desires, or following the ways of God. It's hard to resist, but Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in our Bible. Resistance means sufferings. And God calls each one of us to the same attitude that Jesus had when He faced temptations on this earth. Jesus resisted temptation to the point of suffering. To resist temptation, to take the path that is more difficult, will involve hard work. It will involve sacrifice. But let me tell you, it's the key to overcoming temptation. It's the path to victory. It's easy to sin. And you know what? Sin breeds sin. Overcoming one temptation strengthens us to overcome the next. Let us this morning have resolve. Amen. Father, we thank You, God, for the opportunity to share these words and to be encouraged to consider the temptations that we all have inwardly and outwardly, God, that come our way daily. There's no rest. There's no vacation. No matter where we travel, no matter where we go, it follows us. Temptation is always there, dogging us. Because we're in a world full of corruption. Because of a man who did not resist. A man and woman who did not resist in the very beginning. And they sinned. Father, we pray, God, that You would help each one of us this morning to have the moral courage, the strength, the fortitude to see that if we're going to have any measure in our success against overcoming temptation and not sinning, we need to suffer against it, just as Jesus did. Lord, bless this message to all those who are here this morning, and all those that will hear it on the internet, God. You just bless and give us a wonderful day in Jesus Christ. Amen.